It's all about Jesus, and I think the desire of all of our hearts is that we would follow Jesus in every aspect of our lives, including when we come to church on Sundays, okay? Which you might automatically think, well, if I'm going to church in the first place, I'm following Jesus. But we're going to see today that there's different ways that you can come to church. There's different ways that you can look at your experience on Sunday morning and approach that. That's what we're going to get as we dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So if you would grab your Bible and turn there and be ready, we're going to be covering a lot of verses this morning, the first 25 verses. This is part of kind of a mini-series within the book of 1 Corinthians on spiritual gifts. So we started into this part in chapter 12. Chapters 12, 13, and 14 really all revolve around this theme of spiritual gifts. And the problem that was going on in the church of Corinth was that the people were putting way too much importance on spiritual gifts, especially certain gifts that were... Well, the one brought up often is the gift of tongues, and they had some cultural things going on that caused them to elevate the gift of tongues more than any other gift. And so in chapter 12, we saw some of the major problems that was causing in the church, that because there was so much emphasis on gifts, other people that didn't have the gift of tongues, other people who didn't have that gift were feeling unimportant. And like their gifts didn't matter, they weren't getting involved. And so Paul corrected some of that thinking in chapter 12. And then he said, you know what, there's something far more important than spiritual gifts, and that's love. And that's what chapter 13 was all about. Reminding them, but also reminding us that, listen, you can do ministry like crazy, but you actually can't do ministry very well or effectively at all if it doesn't come from love. And so we spent that whole chapter on love. We need to excel in love, East Lincoln. That's where it starts. And then you can move on to ministry. Ministry has to come out of love. And so now we have chapter 14 where Paul starts to talk about some of the practical implications of using gifts in ministry coming out of love. And I want us to start thinking this morning about what kind of mentality we have about our experience of going to church on Sunday mornings. What are we looking for? What are you looking for when you come to church on Sunday mornings? What are you thinking about? What's your purpose for being here or at your church? Okay, we think a certain way about these things, and there are some common trends that pastors and church leaders see among American Christians because of the culture that we live in. Our culture has an influence on the way that we think about church. So I did a little bit of research and learned that after the industrialization of the late 19th century, so at the end of the 18th century, all this industrialization was happening in America, and after that time, America has become what's known as a consumer culture, all right? A consumer culture. That a consumer culture happens in a capitalist country where people have extra money that they can spend, and businesses then are competing with other businesses to sell their products and their services to these people with extra money and sell them things that they want. And, of course, in order to sell their products and services, they have to make them more appealing than their competitors. And they have to convince people that that's the case. Like, our stuff is better than their stuff, so buy our stuff and not theirs. And so there's a lot of marketing and advertising that focuses then on why their products are so much better than their competitors. And what happens is businesses in our consumer culture cater to individual buyers to try to meet their wants and needs better than anybody else. So it's all about providing exactly what the consumer wants. Okay? And it's very obvious if you look around at advertising and different things on social media. It's all about you and what you want, exactly what you want. And when you live in that kind of a culture, you learn to think a certain way. And we all live in this culture, and we've grown, none of us are over, 120 years old, so we've grown up and lived in this culture, and we've learned to think a certain way, probably without even knowing it. You're constantly being told it's all about you. It's all about you, what you want, what you need, what you prefer. So your desires, your experiences, your enjoyment are what matter most. Everything revolves around catering to you. And that's the mentality that's ingrained in people's minds in a consumer culture. It's just where we're at. And now I want us to think about what that looks like when it comes to church. So the reality that almost every pastor has to deal with is that most Christians operate with a consumer mindset. Okay, they're looking for a church that appeals to them, their needs, their wants, their preferences. And the consumers are expecting to have a wonderful spiritual experience when they go to church, and if they don't, they complain or they start to look for a different church, all right? It's called consumer Christianity. There's an article by Ray Burns from High Point Church in Altoona, Iowa, and I read this statement. He says this, consumer Christianity is just what it sounds like. We treat Christ and his bride, the church, like commodities that exist to serve our wants. We treat believers and the church as things that need to impress us. So churches have to appeal to the people that they hope to bring in their doors and then hang on to, the people they hope to hang on to. We have to appeal to them, because if we don't, the next church down the road will. All right, there's a lot of options out there, right? I think in Amory there's 20 options for you on a Sunday morning, something like that, that you can drive to. I mean, more than that, I'm sure. So most people, when they go to church, are thinking about how good of an experience they're having and if it's worth coming back, all right? And there's a lot of pieces to that experience. It could be your friends at church. It could be the music. Could be the preaching. Could be a lot of different things. So the question I have for you this morning is, do you think that way? Do you think that way? How about when it comes to the songs we sing in church? So you notice we throw in a little bit of everything. We want everyone, I mean, we want to have, how do I even say this? Ed, save me. There you go. There you go. We think about this when it comes to picking out songs. How about, do you think that this way when it comes to the temperature in the room? Okay, so you walk in and church is cold, and if it's cold too many weeks in a row, oof, duh. Problem. How about the length of sermons? Or the, yeah, Amy just gave me one of these. I've heard people say, could you preach shorter? And I've heard people say, could you preach longer? Okay. Style of sermons. I have a certain style, but different preachers have different styles. How do we think about these things? How about little kids running around and making noise? How about the way that we handle masks? So how much importance do you put on your own personal experience when you come to church? And is there something else that should be more important than that when you come to church? So this morning we're going to look at a passage that Paul wrote that he points out a problem with the church in Corinth, and it's the same problem that happens in consumer Christianity. We're going to see that this morning. As we see what that problem is, my hope is that we're going to have to train ourselves to think differently when we come to church. Whether you've been a part of East Lincoln for a long time and wherever you end up, if you move and go to a different community, you have to kind of go church shopping and you are looking for a church. How are you thinking about this? How much importance do you put on your own personal experience We have to train ourselves to think differently, I think, and I am hoping, after we see what Paul has to say when it comes to going to church on Sundays. So Paul just finished up talking about love and the importance of love among the church family. And the people in Corinth, as I said, were placing too much importance on spiritual gifts, especially speaking in tongues, and they weren't putting enough importance on love. And so Paul was trying to get them to flip that around so they put more importance on love and less on spiritual gifts. Love is far more important than spiritual gifts, and if they would put love first, it would change then the way they thought about spiritual gifts. And Paul gets into that now at the beginning of chapter 14. He writes about what that change would look like. So let's begin. Let's read verses 1 through 5 to begin with. Here's what he says. Pursue love, which makes sense after what he just said in chapter 13. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So note right away, there's a difference here between what he says they should pursue and what they were pursuing when it came to spiritual gifts. Especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. So you can see, and you know from previous weeks, that speaking in tongues was at the top of the list when it came to the way that the Corinthian believers were thinking. They thought that was the best. But Paul says if you're actually thinking rightly, if you're thinking in terms of love and what that means in chapter 13, if love is most important to you, there are other gifts that will rise to the top instead of speaking in tongues. And he mentions here especially the gift of prophecy. All right, what's the gift of prophecy? I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I gave one description. I read one in the ESV Study Bible that I really like, and I want to share that with you. Here's the gift of prophecy is speech that reports something that God spontaneously brings to mind or reveals to the speaker, but which is spoken in merely human words, not words of God. Therefore, it can have mistakes and must be tested or evaluated. So it's a spontaneous prompting or revelation from God that then they share with their own words. It's not considered scripture or to have the authority of scripture. It must be tested and evaluated. That's the gift that Paul said to the Corinthians, that they should be valuing and earnestly desiring more than tongues. Now, why would he say that? He begins to explain that in these verses, and actually the rest of the verses that we're looking at this morning, he's explaining this. He points out that when a person speaks in a tongue, they're not speaking to people, but they're speaking to God, for no one understands them. He says they're uttering mysteries in the Spirit. In other words, it isn't helping other people. Prophecy, on the other hand, is tremendously helpful for others. So there's this major difference here between tongues and prophecy. The things that they share are building people up, they're encouraging people, they're consoling people. And so there's a major difference between the two. And Paul points out in verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And that's the key difference here in these two gifts. Speaking in tongues is about a powerful, personal, spiritual experience. And some of you, I know there are some who speak in tongues, and you know that that's the case. It's about a powerful, personal, spiritual experience. Prophecy is about building others up. And Paul is saying that prophecy is more important when you come to the gathering, when you come to church. He's saying it's greater. And he isn't against speaking in tongues. This whole chapter, it sounds like he's kind of negative about tongues. But he says here he wants them all to be able to speak in tongues, but even more than that, to prophesy. Because when someone prophesies, the church is built up, and that doesn't happen with tongues unless there's an interpreter. Prophecy is for building up the church. Tongues is for personal experience. Therefore, according to Paul, prophecy is greater in the church assembly. I want you to see a theme here, because tongues and prophecy, that's not really the issue that we have at East Lincoln. We don't have that same issue, but we do have this consumer mentality that tends to place too much importance on our own personal experience when we come to church. Okay, it's a lot to do with my experience when I come to church, and it's not so much to do on building others up. And it seems that Paul's pointing out here that there's something wrong with that. A wonderful personal experience is important, and I certainly hope that you have that when you come to church on Sundays. But it's not as important as building others up. That should be our priority when we come to church. And that's not the way that most people think, most Christians think, in a consumer culture. Paul goes on now in the next several verses to emphasize the inability of tongues to benefit others in the church. And so I'm going to go through these last few passages pretty quickly and not hit on every detail, but I want us to see the main point that Paul's making time and time again. It's going to sound, like I said, again, like he's negative about tongues, which he's really not that negative about them, but you have to remember that he's writing to this church to correct an error that they had. So here's what he says. Let's look at verses 6 through 12. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know it is played? Aren't you glad that they played distinct notes this morning so that we could hear the melody, we could sing along? Verse 8, and if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know it is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. And so you can see several illustrations, musical instruments, different languages that Paul gives. And the point of all of these is the same. He's making the same point. Speaking in tongues, and he's saying this to these Corinthians, speaking in tongues without an interpreter doesn't benefit anyone other than the person speaking. And that makes sense, all right? So when I was looking into this part of the passage, I was thinking about some experiences I've had recently. One was I was driving actually to get a mattress that we needed, and it was nighttime. It was out in the country. It was a marketplace or a Facebook thing, and I was driving, and all of a sudden I look in the ditch, and there's this white animal, and I see this is a little baby calf that's in the ditch right next to the road. And I'm thinking of the Westers and all the trouble that they go to in calving and keeping those calves alive. And I'm like, I bet that calf is really important to the farmer here. So I pulled in to the farmer, and they had probably migrant workers from Mexico that were working in the farm. And it quickly became apparent that they didn't speak any English at all. And the 2 years of Spanish that I had in high school aren't sticking with me real well. So I'm trying, I'm like, moo, you know, like moo, you know. And then one of them hands me a phone, and I think, oh, well, they must have called the farmer who speaks English, and I'll talk to him. And so I'm like, hello? And I see on there, hola. It was Google Translate, which I then figured out, like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to speak in English, and the phone's going to interpret for me. So anyways, finally we got this figured out, that there's a calf at the end of the driveway. You need to go out there and get it, I assume. All right, so translation issues. Another one was a few years ago, and this one, we were out doing a canned food drive with the youth group, And we went to a different farm, and they also had migrant workers, Spanish-speaking people. We got to the house and knocked on the door, and when you knock on the door, you're asking if they want to donate canned food, right? So we do that, but then it quickly becomes apparent, again, they don't speak any English, and again, problems with the Spanish here. And so as the conversation progressed, they had no idea, they didn't have Google Translate, and they thought we were hungry and needed food, and so instead of giving us canned food items, they invited us to come in for supper. And I was like, what do I even do here? I don't even know. So I just left, and I'm sure they were really confused what just happened. The point is this. When you're speaking in tongues without an interpreter, this is the point Paul makes, you're speaking in a language that no one understands. It doesn't help. And even though it may be a great personal spiritual experience for the person speaking, it isn't helpful for anyone else. And so Paul tells them, since you're so eager for manifestations of the Spirit, seek manifestations that build up the church instead of manifestations that give you just this wonderful personal experience. Don't put so much attention on pursuing your own personal experience of speaking in tongues. Okay? Put importance on building others up, building up the church. Now he continues, verses 13 through 19. He says, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Okay? So you can see the same point he's making. Speaking words that you and others can understand and be built up by is far more important in the church than speaking unintelligible words with your spirit that no one understands. Therefore, speaking in tongues should not be your highest goal, is what he tells the people in Corinth when you're at church. Far better to speak words that people can understand. And now he finishes with this, verses 20 through 25. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. In the law, it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus, tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is not a sign for unbelievers, but for believers. If, therefore, the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, what, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. What a difference in those two experiences. Even when it comes to winning people to Christ, Paul says prophecy is far more beneficial than tongues. If an unbeliever comes to church and everyone's speaking in tongues and it just sounds like a bunch of gibberish, they're going to hightail it out of there and think everybody's crazy. But if they come in and hear and understand a prophetic word from the Lord directly for them, they'll fall on their face in worship and faith, is what Paul says. So it isn't just about having a great personal experience when you come to church. It's about building others up so that they're encouraged and may even come to know Jesus. So the point that Paul's making throughout this whole chapter is very clear, and I think we need to think about how it relates to us today, and hopefully you're connecting a few dots here. This is what I think. First I would say, what do you think Paul would think about modern-day consumer Christianity and the attitudes that many Christians have when they go to church. I don't think he'd like it at all. I don't think he'd like it at all. I think he'd say that we've got our priorities messed up, that we're way too focused on personal experience. It's not like personal experience isn't important and doesn't matter at all on Sunday mornings, but I think what Paul would say is that it pales in comparison to our calling and responsibility to build others up in the church. That's what's most important. That's what we should focus on in our context. And so I think we need to ask ourselves and ask yourself, what's my focus? What's my attitude about church when I come on Sunday mornings? Hopefully, the music and the preaching and the temperature and little kids don't prevent or distract you from being able to experience God's presence, but if they do at times, it's not the end of the world. God has brought you here, okay, and this goes back to chapter 12. He's brought you, yes, and I'm talking to all of us, each of us individually. He's brought you here on Sunday mornings to serve, to encourage, to equip, and build others up using your gifts, not just to have a powerful experience. So let's be a people who have a different focus and different priorities when we come to church. Let's break away from that mindset of our consumer culture and focus more on how we can use our gifts to serve others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage. Even though it was a problem in that church, it gives us the opportunity this morning to look at our own lives and see, are we being like the Corinthians in our attitudes and mindset when we gather for church on Sundays? I pray, Lord, I know that that can be my mindset, and I'm guessing that all of us to some extent struggle with that. Lord, I pray that we would train ourselves to think differently and that as we come to church on Sundays, we would set our minds to thinking of serving others, equipping and building up others and encouraging them. Lord, take these things and solidify them in our hearts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.